Sure.
Good morning, church. So when I was in, I think it was 10th grade, I was in chemistry, and we had group projects that we would have to do every once in a while. And I was like getting ready to do this group project, and I was paired with these two people who I will share. It was Joyce and Fred, and that was their real names. So if you're listening, this is just for you. I'm upset about this. But Joyce and Fred, they were friends of mine, kind of. They were the popular people in school. You know, they're the ones who did like 800 sports. You know, everyone loved them. They thought they were the best. You know, they could do no wrong at all. But I was paired with them, and I was like the exact opposite. I was a loner in high school. I didn't like to hang out with anybody. I was just kind of off by myself. And so we did this project, and I remember like starting off, everybody seemed like they were going to be okay, and they were going to do their kind of their job. But guess what happened? Quickly, they started to not do anything. And of course, I didn't want to get a bad grade. You know, I'm a rule follower. I want to make sure that I get a good grade. And so what I ended up doing, I was picking up all the slack from all the stuff that they were supposed to be doing. And I picked up all this slack, and we ended up needing to present our stuff to everybody. I made sure everybody was on board. They knew what they were going to say, when they were going to say it, how they're going to say it. And let me tell you, we got a great grade on it. I was really happy about that. But like, they got all of the credit too. I don't know about you, that just really ticks me off. I'm still dealing with it this morning, friends. It's really tough. But I don't like it when, like, you do all this work and other people get the credit. How many of you with me? Yes, that's right. Don't lie in church, right? And so I mean, it's so frustrating. And not only was that, like, I did all this work and they got all the credit. You know, I did all this work. They got, you know, the A's on the stuff. I did all this work. And of course, they're looked at as like all of the, they're like the greatest people. But I knew behind the scenes what they were. I knew exactly what they were. I don't know if you ever get like that, but I get like that. I mean, it's tough. It's difficult, right? When someone gets credit for something that you did, right? Or you come up with this great idea and you're kind of sharing it with a couple people, and all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, they bring up the idea and they're like, look at what I came up with. Oh, it's the worst. It's the absolute worst. Well, I think as we're going to dive into the scripture, today is a prime example of someone doing their very best to serve Jesus, yet someone who seemingly was doing absolutely nothing gets all of the positive recognition. So go ahead and open up with me to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be looking there. Luke chapter 10, we're going to be kind of in 38 through 42. Now, Martha, and it's a story about Mary and Martha. Martha was a follower of Jesus, a sister of Mary and of Lazarus. And we meet this family a couple times in scripture. One time is in John chapter 11, when, you know, we kind of know this, where Lazarus is dead, and Martha sends out people to go tell Jesus that he's dead. He's going to die soon, and Jesus decides not to come at that point. And then Jesus does come, and Mary runs out, and she comes out, and she says, Lord, if you had only been here, like, he could have been saved. I knew he would do it. He would be saved. And this really demonstrates the faith that Martha has in Jesus and that relationship. And so, you know, it's she goes further by saying, you know, that even now, God, I know that whatever you ask, it will be given. And so Martha has this deep sense of relationship with Jesus. There's a connection that Jesus has with this family that is just so deep and so abundant. And she's the only one who kind of invited Jesus to this meal that we're going to talk about. And she's the first one that go out to see him when he comes at Lazarus's death. And she's the one who speaks her mind at this first kind of dinner. And it was just such a space for her to be able to connect with Jesus. Well, the problem is that not only does Martha show that she loves to work and serve, the problem in the scripture is that she blames Mary for not serving alongside of her. Not only does she blame Mary, she blames Jesus for not even caring about what was happening. Mary's sitting, doing her own thing, at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, right? And I can imagine kind of Martha, you know, who's a rule follower, who's a role follower, who's a law-abiding follower. She's sitting inside in the kitchen doing what she's supposed to do. And she's like, Mary, get in here. Can you imagine that? I mean, these two are sisters, right? And she's like, come on, let's go. We gotta cook for Jesus. Let's go, right? And let's cook, right? I mean, so, sorry, that was a little Gen Alpha, whatever. Phrase. Anyways, so Martha is just absolutely livid with Mary being outside there. And so I can imagine that there was like side conversations, like, why aren't you helping me? Let's get going. Come on, aren't you going to do something here instead of just sit there and doing nothing? You're not doing anything. And our job, our role is to make sure that we are providing hospitality for all of these disciples and for Jesus. And this is what she says. She looks at Jesus and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Martha was angry at Mary for being so selfish, and she's aggravated at Jesus for Jesus allowing this to continue. Notice that Martha kind of addressed this irritation to Jesus directly. And you have to admit, she's a gutsy woman. I mean, the Son of God. I mean, she's like, come on, Jesus, let's go. Let's get this woman to work. You know, and Martha is accusing Jesus of not caring for her. Because see, if Jesus was actually to care for Martha, then he should have known that Mary should have been in the kitchen helping out and providing for the meal, right? It's interesting how Martha thinks Jesus' care for her with his willingness to tell Mary to get moving and to get going, but Jesus doesn't respond that way. I wonder, do we ever accuse God of not caring for us because we've already decided what that care should look like? Do we accuse God that, God, you don't care for us because we have an understanding of what we think care looks like? You know, I see Martha's actions as a case of overcommitment here. I mean, overcommitment can lead to unwarranted accusations, right, and actions. And Martha, if she had simply walked out to Mary and said, listen, Mary, I am swamped in there and I need your help. There's like 800 people here and it's all by myself. I just need your help. I don't even know if this would be put in scripture if she would have acted like that, right? This event may never have been recorded, but Martha is a wonderful, servant-hearted follower of Jesus who overcommitted, and when she starts to feel the heaviness of it all, she starts to feel the weight of it, she scolds Jesus for not caring. And what does Jesus do? He defends Mary. Well, you know, this isn't the first time that he defended Mary, right? I mean, you could see Jesus was eating at the home another time after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, right? And 2 days before Jesus was arrested and crucified, right? His disciples are again eating at their home. And Mary comes to Jesus with a pint of nard, right? In an alabaster jar, and she breaks it open and she pours it on his feet and his head and his body. And those who are around are like, why is she doing this? That's so expensive. You should keep it. And Jesus is like, no, she's prepared. Preparing me for burial. Jesus comes to Mary's rescue again. I believe that Mary and Martha both love Jesus with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength. But Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is too busy to notice that something is off within her. She's so focused on the tasks and not focused on the treasure. Well, you know, Mary and Martha, as we look at them, we see the difference between how we are to approach Jesus, right? I mean, it's about, are you being task-oriented or are you being hospitable, right? I mean, are you overworking in order to make sure everything is prepared and ready to go, or are you sitting down being focused on Jesus? See, I believe that Martha was focused on the rules. She was focused on her role. Her role was to be in the kitchen to make the meals in order so that the disciples might be fed. That was her role. That was the law, right? That's what she was doing. And her role, that's what women should be doing in that time. And she focused on them and she stayed in the kitchen. And perhaps she felt that if she could just do her job, she would have been deemed worthy and acceptable, right, in that role. If she would just do that, then she would be honored. If she just did that, then maybe Jesus would recognize her, right, obeying that rule, obeying kind of that law. And in fact, I think that's one of the things that we do. We often try and follow the law, follow the rules, follow our roles so that we might be seen as holy, might be seen as being someone who follows rules, being someone who follows the law. And yet we feel the weight of those eyes around us and looking at us and the strictness of the rules of society that are put on us, and we follow everything to a T, and so we stay busy, and we stay in our lane, and we stay focused, and we make sure that we follow what the rules say. And the reality is, the one who shatters the norms and the one who breaks the law, the unwritten rules, is Mary, because she is sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm not saying that you all should go out and break the rules, although sometimes I think we need to. What I am saying is that the law of the world, the expectations of the world, the rule of the world always comes second to sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when they are at odds with one another, we best find ourselves at the foot of the cross, or we're going to get lost in the world's grasp on our souls. We need to get out the kitchen. I think we'd like to stay in the kitchen, though, don't we? We like to stay busy. We like to focus on those things because, candidly, I believe that so many are afraid when we stop and are in silence that we're not sure what Jesus is going to say to us when everything's quiet. We're not sure how much Jesus is going to lean into us when everything is silent. When we actually slow ourselves down enough to hear the Spirit talking to us. There's a constant state of busyness in our lives. And not just with work, even with leisure as well, right? I mean, maybe even this weekend you're thinking, we have to go to this basketball game, or we have to go to this grandparent's house, or we have to have a meet-a-palooza, or, you know, we have to do these huge things, right, that you have to do. And our calendars, we fill them all up with these absolutely great things, goals we want to achieve, things we want to do. They're good things. And the rest that God desires for us, right, is not just from our employment and not just from our times of leisure, but it's everything, our hearts, our schedules, and our minds. And friends, I don't know, sometimes I think we need Sabbaths from our days off. That we're so busy that even on our days off, we're filling them to the brim of all of these things. Excuse me. Martha had a bad rap here. She gets a bad rap. You know, remember, she's the devoted one. She's the one that went to Jesus. She's the one that has the faith, a deep faith. And Martha's doing the practical things. And oftentimes, people look at Mary as the one who's spiritual, right? And since Jesus favors Mary, they think, like, the spiritual should trump the practical every single time. And it's still an oversimplification that without the practice, the practical things, the spiritual things are difficult to come by, too. And hospitality is big in the Bible. And so the idea of Martha kind of stepping back into the kitchen and doing those things, I mean, my bet is that Martha really did want to sit out at the feet of Jesus. That she really did want to kind of hang out with Jesus and listen to all the things that she said. But look at what the scripture says. It says in verse 48, the first part, and I want you to circle the word distracted in your Bibles. The sense of the word translated distracted means to be pulled away, to be dragged away. In other words, to be taken captive, to be made a prisoner against one free will. The implication is that Martha wanted to hear Jesus herself. She wanted to be seated at his feet too. She wanted to be sitting right next to Mary, but she was pulled away, taken captive by her sense of duty. But what she thought people wanted from her. Fretting about the meal robbed her joy of listening to the Lord. And yeah, of course, we need to take our responsibilities seriously, of course, but not to the point where we're unable to sit down and listen to Jesus. She wanted to listen to him as he offered words of life. She wanted to listen to him as she says, if you want to save your life, you must give it. Of course she wanted to listen to him when he explained that the first would be last and the last will be first. Of course she wanted to listen to him when he said, pray for your enemies and bless those who curse you. She wanted to listen to him when he said, I am the bread of life, right? And she wanted to listen to him that if you have me as your bread, you can live forever. I mean, but she couldn't listen because she couldn't get her mind off of the everyday things that she felt that she had to do. And Jesus, and one of the great kind of words of kind of, you know, 1970 show, right? Martha, Martha, Martha. You know, I mean, the Brady Bunch, he goes, Martha, Martha, Martha. He says, you are worried and bothered about so many things. He says, but only one thing is what? Necessary. Only one thing is necessary. It's to focus on me. And here's the great truth, friends. Loss of focus in our lives and what we do and how we act can only be cured by refocusing on Jesus. And I think there's a warning for all of us here. Right? Is that either we're going to focus on Jesus or we're going to focus on something else. That's what, I mean, the scripture's clear. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is, right? Right? Wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And I think Jesus is the key. We are so busy with the things in life, we can become distracted by all that's going on, all the things going on, that we miss Jesus. I mean, haven't you ever been there? That you're so focused on all the things that you need to do. You got to get this done and that done. And then you have to go help this person. You need to do all these things. And even that you have to come to church and help at church, right? I mean, there are no bad things typically in our calendar, right? But it's so tough to do that. And there's only really one thing that matters. And Jesus is saying, just get out of the kitchen for a little bit. Just get out of the kitchen. Come and sit down with me for a little bit. Take some time and pray for a little bit. Take some time and just sit by my side and allow me just to pour into you. And that's what Jesus is saying to us this morning. We don't have to keep rushing from thing to thing to thing. We can actually slow down and stop and just be in the presence of God, being at the foot of Jesus as a disciple, as a follower, listening to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, friends, you know, this is about choosing our own busyness or focusing on God's business. It's about choosing law or choosing love. And here's the thing, it's not as simple as right or wrong. And this is the most difficult thing for us to understand. A lot of the things that Martha was doing were absolutely right. They were good things that she was doing. And friends, you fill up your schedule with good, Meetapalooza, that was a good thing, right? It wasn't a couple hours after, but it was good during the moment, right? It was a good thing, but we fill our lives up with good things and we forget the great things that we're supposed to be filling up our life with. We spend so much time running from one thing to the next, and we forget that the greatest thing is just to sit at Jesus' feet. There's a great book called Good or God, and it says this. The premise is that there are so many of us willing to fill our schedule with good things that we may be missing God through it all. What are we going to focus on first? Henry Blackaby put it like this. We are human beings, not human doings. Sometimes perhaps we just need to be, we just need to be still and know that God is there. Perhaps the best thing that we can do in our lives is just stop rushing and start resting. And friends, I am like literally preaching to myself. You are just on this, like you're just hearing me preach to myself right now. Perhaps I need to stop worrying about so many things and focus on the things that are really important. I've been having conversations lately. Our church is awesome. Amen, church? You guys are great. And we do so many things in this community and for one another. We lift up and we encourage one another. But I have to tell you, over these last couple of months, I've been exhausted by the amount of stuff that we're doing. I've been absolutely worn out. We do so much stuff. And this scripture really got me thinking, these are all good things. They're great things. Are they the best thing? When have we taken time to just slow down and sit at the feet of Jesus? So you wonder what this 21 days is for. It's for that. It's for us to slow down a little bit, maybe to cross some things off the calendar that aren't really needed. They're good things, but they're not great things. And maybe we just need to sit down at the feet of Jesus and just take a deep breath. Of course, we're going to worry about what things need to get done. Of course, we're going to have that. But I believe that Martha learned a very valuable lesson that day. That while there are things that are good, things that need to get done, the most important thing that we can do is sit down at the very feet of Jesus. The Bible says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. So what do you treasure? Are you putting Jesus first? I mean, truly putting him first in your life. Jesus says, get out of the kitchen. Just leave it all there. We'll make dinner later. We'll take care of that later. Just come out here and sit at my feet, right? And just take a deep breath for once. Stop running from here to here to here. Just sit at my feet and just let go. Preaching to me. Just let go. Let it go. We don't have to be running around, allowing our head and our heart and our soul to be consumed by what the world thinks we need to be. To let all of that down by the riverside and step into the stream of the Spirit and allow him to minister to us. There are good things, but let's focus on the best things, which is being at the foot of the cross, celebrating who Jesus is in our life. Let's pray. God, you know there are more Marthas in this room than anything else, me included. There's more Martha in us than we care to admit. We respect her ability to get things done, right? To take care of all of the little tasks, to shun laziness and idleness. Yet sometimes we forget about the main thing that consumed Mary. Sometimes we just need to spend a moment at Jesus' feet, listening, learning, soaking in love and admiration and orienting our life to his own and teachings and purpose. God, help us to put you first, God. Help us to find our version of quiet times with you each day. God, and that's going to look different for each person here, right? And this is not a cookie cutter faith. It is a faith that's an intimate relationship between us and you that only you and us can connect with, God. And so, God, it's going to look different for each person each day. But, God, make sure that we can have a time where we can quiet our hearts, that we can recharge our batteries and orient our life to your plans, to see the world, right, as you see it, to love as you have loved, to forgive as you forgive, and to join your plans in this world so that our lives may be complete in you. God, help us to get out of the kitchen. Help us to set down the things that we need to set down, even when they're good, so that we might be able to sit at your feet
so that you may pour into our cup, so that we might overflow your goodness into this world. For we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name.